It's recovery season, and it's here for a reason. With peace, love, and joy. Peace, love, and joy. Football is a-playing, and we're never complaining when our favorite Titan scores. Favorite Titan scores. Well, I must admit, when I can't acquit, there's something I want more. It's for free and it's for fun and it's only just begun. It's Recovery 101. Recovery 101. We love the shout outs and Shelly's boozy news. And we always love to hear that somebody's listening too. It's recovery season, and it's here for a reason. It's Recovery 101. Recovery 101, yeah.
Thank you to Frantastic for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for any AACAOAGA. I messed up my start on that.
I know, what are you doing?
AnaOACAGAPASLASLA.
Did you forget your alphabet?
CRRRMMDRAHAFA or any of them, they're guys. We don't even speak well for Recovery 101. As you are about to discover, welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B. As always with
Shelly.
And Mark.
Sweet.
Dude.
Shelly.
Yes.
What are you looking at?
I'm just watching the little thingies.
Shelly's fascinated by the board that we have.
I just want to make sure that everybody's able to be heard.
So what's going on with you today, Shelly?
Jack, shit.
You played hooky.
Yes.
Today. From church. No church.
And then
God hates you now.
You godless heathen.
Well, God got back at me. Because I was like, yay, we're choir is off season now. So we have like a month and a half with no choir. I am fully sleeping in this Sunday and not going to church.
I bet you didn't.
But what I meant was, because I usually get up between 6:30 and 7 every day, what I meant was I'm going to sleep until 8 o'clock and get up. And that would be very restful, an extra hour of half asleep or whatever would be great.
What'd you do?
10:30 rolls around. I get out of bed and feel like death. Because if I sleep more than like 6 or 7 hours, I'm toast for the whole day. I'm in pain. I've got a headache. My sinuses are all backed. I have to get out of bed after God said, ha, see, that's what happens. It was divine retribution.
We'll teach you to get sleep.
Yeah, it took me like 4 hours to actually be a human being today.
I'm fantastic in bed. I can sleep all day.
I know. Bruce's hobby is taking what he calls snaky naps.
Yep.
I haven't had a snaky nap in a long time. Oh, no, I did the other night, as a matter of fact.
Until I came in and screamed at you.
Yeah. Which I don't really get. I don't ever scream at you when you take a nap.
I never take a nap.
Well, there you go.
I don't think that takes away from my statement at all. I've never screamed at him. So, is that it? Anything else? I saw you posting all kinds of stuff today.
Well, it's just stuff I had meant to post earlier in the week and then forgot.
80s music flying through your head all morning? Is that what it was? 80s hard rock?
No, my head was hurting so much that it sounded like there was a 10-piece mariachi band playing the happy heavy metal hits of the 80s in my head.
Ooh.
And I realized that it is possible to have a hangover without actually getting drunk. Because that's how I felt this morning. I felt like I had consumed 2/5 of Stoli in like an hour last night. That's how bad I felt this morning. I was like, ugh.
I
haven't had a drink in 10 years, so.
I should have looked up mariachi metal.
I'll bet it's there somewhere.
I'll bet it is, too, on YouTube.
If you can think of it, it exists.
Look, if there's anything on YouTube, I mean, if there's anything recorded, video or otherwise, it's probably on YouTube somewhere. I watched a complete and full movie that Mark and Company made.
Years ago.
The Blair Bitch Project. Which is kind of entertaining. What's going on with Mark?
I'm glad you were entertained. Just had a weekend.
Just another weekend?
Drove down to Long Beach, had dinner with my daughters last night. And that was just a nice evening down there. And a whole lot cooler
there.
I bet it is.
Was here.
Was Rugburn there?
Yeah. Headed to her house.
It's so hot that when I took a shower a little while ago, the cold water didn't come on until the end. And I only had the cold water on. I didn't have any hot on.
Yep. It's
in case anyone's wondering why I would call one of Mark's daughters rug burn.
Yeah, we know.
We know.
Yeah, because we never get new listeners.
Bruce nicknames everybody on his phone.
So do
I. For a really good reason on that one.
Yeah.
You have a nickname on my phone, but I can't say it on the show. I don't want to break your anonymity.
Oh.
Oh.
Because it includes part of your last name. Oh,
okay.
That's how I have him on my phone, too. With the first four letters of your last name. Because it's easier than writing it all out.
Yeah, well, it takes a while.
What's going on in sports?
Dodgers are winning every day.
I don't want to talk about the Dodgers.
Every day.
Are they? Because the last time I saw, where were we, Shelley, when I checked that?
They got 50 wins right now. They got 50 wins.
51.
51? Did they win today?
Yeah, they won today.
Ah, crap.
They were down 5-0 and they came back.
I am happy to report that the Reds are no longer in last place. They are post-seeded by San Francisco and Philadelphia.
Yeah.
That is something to be proud of.
Yeah. The Dodgers find different ways to win every day. They scored five runs in the last two innings on four wild pitches to come back from behind to win.
Wow. Well, hopefully they don't do what they always do.
They do it every year?
They go into like the last 2 weeks of the season in first place and then somehow figure a way to screw it all up.
Yeah, they usually crater when they get to the playoffs, but
so
fear of success.
I know. What? So
you know what that means.
What about you? You didn't tell us about you.
Let's see. Pretty close to opening a store. Still going round. I mean, people that are on Patreon have heard a show, a dumpster fire that has a Skype caller on it.
No, I haven't put that one up yet.
Oh, no. Well, they will.
By the time they hear
they
this
will,
show.
They will. Yeah, they will the have heard it by then. That's true. Now, since then, Bill and I have tried our best. We're still working on it. We're working on the recording thing.
Some people get to best faster than others.
We're right there, though. Yeah.
It amazes me that like people all over the world can do this, and we're having so much. And it's not like it doesn't work. Oh. We've had it work.
And come on. When you say people all over the world can do this, certainly every radio station does it, and it sounds pretty flawless. Unless the person's on a cell phone, then it doesn't sound that great.
Right.
But every podcaster I've seen, these guys... I got interviewed by a guy who literally put the cell phone on speakerphone and laid the microphone on top of it.
Yikes.
But it was sounded horrible.
Uh-huh.
So there's that. Anything else? Let's
see. Somebody told me if we run it through the board, then we have to have headphones.
Yes. We only have one set of headphones.
Yeah, because we won't be able to hear.
Well, we have more than one set of headphones.
We can get more headphones.
There's headphones, and there is somewhere, I knew where it was when it was out in the other studio. I have a connector that will hook up three headphones to one headphone jack, if we needed to.
If it was a little widget, it might be in that black cigar box in which I placed all of your little widgets.
But I know that I have a Beats. The problem with Beats, though, those headphones are so good, the Pro Beats thing, Dr. Dre's Pro Beats. The problem is I won't hear anything else. But I think that if we're speaking into the mics,
yes,
we should hear that
as
well.
We will all go through with it, yeah.
Well? But that
doesn't solve today's problem.
It doesn't solve everything, but we're working on it feverishly. So you know what that means.
What, Bruce?
It's time for the busy news and the news not fit for booze.
All right, we have shout-outs to Damon, Natasha. What the heck did I write?
Is that it?
No. I don't know what this... Oh, it must be Randy. Damon, Natasha, Randy, Lisa, Carol, John, Natalie, Sally, Roland, Dakota, Johnny, Bill, Fran, Alexandria, Neil, and Kenny Potter.
Hey!
Where'd Kenny show up?
Did he?
Yeah.
Did
he's a follower.
Did he send a boozy news?
No, he became a follower. Because anything that comes to my notifications in the mail, which means like you become a follower or you comment or you like or whatever, then you end up on the thing. Most people just download the show and listen and don't ever go and comment or whatever.
Yeah.
So. All right. The first story is the big one, of course, everyone's talking about. Carrie Fisher's autopsy was made public. She had cocaine, methadone, heroin, and ecstasy in her system when she died. Although the cause of death was actually sleep apnea. The coroner cannot determine because the amounts that were in her system would not have been enough to kill her. In fact, they think that the cocaine that was trace amount was probably from days and days and days before. Like 3 or 4 days before. It was like trace amounts of it.
From 10 years ago.
They don't know whether or not the heroin, which she had more of that in her system than the other things, if that contributed to her sleep apnea or not.
She was riding the white... Well, wait a minute.
Wait, heroin and methadone both in her system.
Yeah. But different amounts. Like she had taken them at different times. Oh, okay. So she wasn't like taking them all in the same day.
I'm going to stop. No, I'm not. I'm going to stop. No, I'm not. I'm going to stop. No, I'm not.
I watched about half of that thing, Shelley, the one-woman show of hers.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, she talks about Hollywood incest, and she's talking about her dad, Eddie Fisher, and Doris Day, and how, not Doris Day, Debbie Reynolds. And how these people had gotten together, and then he went and married her. And I mean, and so she's got like a granddaughter that's trying to hook up with this guy who's actually.
She doesn't have a granddaughter.
He's not exactly family, but he's sort of family. I mean, because there's such of this intrigue between everybody she knew was like sleeping together.
And, are you sure it's not her daughter because she doesn't have a granddaughter?
Or maybe it was her daughter. And her grandmother was saying that. For those two to get together might not be a good idea.
So, might be close.
Yeah, might be close. But it was good.
Let's see.
They have to move to Arkansas in disgrace.
What was that thing called, Shelley?
I'm my own grandpa?
No.
Consanguinity?
No, the name of the show.
Wishful Drinking.
Wishful Drinking.
It was an excellent book. It was an excellent book. Bill sent this next story in.
Recovery 101, sponsored in part by Bill Piper.
This happened in southwestern Mexico in Oaxaca.
Oaxaca. There used to be a lot of weed from Oaxaca.
Miguel Oaxacan. Anaya Pablo.
Is that three names?
Possibly.
Can you say that again in your best Spanish accent, Shelley?
Miguel Anaya Pablo.
Okay.
Might have been. I don't know. There's no toxicology report on this, but it might be a three-name situation.
Yeah.
He died when his pig bit off his penis and three of his fingers.
There's at least alcohol in this, I hope.
And peanut butter.
I don't think with a pig, I don't think it requires peanut butter. It could probably require anything.
Now, here's the part I don't get about this whole story. Apparently, the pig got aggressive when
I'm already don't get it, but go ahead, Shelley.
The pig became aggressive when he tried to... Oh, yes, wait. It says right here. A drunken night out. He was drunk. Woohoo! Okay. It is a three-name situation.
We figured that already.
Yes.
Hopefully.
He provoked his pig when he got home. And it jumped up and knocked him over. In trying to push the pig away, the pig then bit off three of his fingers and his penis. What I'm wondering is how...
This is a big pig.
Did he take off his clothes? How did the pig just arbitrarily bite off his penis? You know what I mean? Was he trying
sure
to get a blowjob?
Provoking the pig
by the penis.
Naked bacon.
Naked bacon. I think he was already naked.
I just can't figure. I mean, unless he, yeah. So
a pig bites at your pant leg, he can get you anywhere.
He didn't actually die from the bites. He was bitten, and then
he committed suicide because he didn't have a penis anymore.
He died sometime after that. He was initially embarrassed to go to the hospital, so he tried to patch himself up. And in the course of doing that, gave himself a bacterial infection and died of sepsis.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
not good.
No. Fran sent this story, and this is kind of an aww story. It's not really a news story.
Okay.
In Athens, Louisiana, there's a UPS man, Daniel Kidd. And usually, you know, there's a stereotype where the dogs hate postal carriers or delivery people or whatever, and they're always trying to bite him and stuff. And
yes.
Apparently, Danielle, all of the animals in the neighborhood love him. He's like the Pied Piper of animals. And the dogs in the neighborhood, if they can get out, they will follow him around on his route around the neighborhood. He takes selfies with the dogs and posts them. This is my buddy so-and-so. This is my buddy so-and-so.
You'll notice he doesn't take selfies with any pigs, though.
So. No, not with any pigs. However, these same dogs that love him so much, several of them have tried to attack the FedEx guy.
They've taken sides.
Yeah, so apparently it's a UPS-only neighborhood
now. I think the UPS guy is carrying dog treats around with
him. I'm thinking maybe he is.
What Brown does for them.
Yeah. I was thinking, he's got steak. Okay, and Fran sent this one in. This is the dumbest marketing ploy I have ever heard of in my life. However, it did fund some scientific research, so I'll roll with it. On June 21st, just a few days ago, KFC launched a Zinger chicken sandwich into space via a high-altitude solar-powered balloon known as a Stratolite.
Why?
Because they could.
Because the aliens are hungry? You would, an advanced alien civilization would take one look at a KFC. What was it, a nugget?
No, it was a Zinger chicken sandwich.
A Zinger chicken sandwich. And they'd be like, no, we thought there was hope for this world, but there's not. Go ahead and destroy it.
Or just pass on it.
Well, there's a company called Worldview Technology that wanted to... It's like a startup type of company, and they're trying to launch these things, these balloons that they're getting telemetry data and all sorts of whatnots. However, they need funding for some of their stuff. It's not a, you know, it's more of a research type of company. And KFC funded the launch, provided that the thing went up with one of their sandwiches on it. So they could use it as a marketing ploy.
McDonald's, you could send an order of fries up there, and when it came back, they'd look exactly the same.
They'd probably still be edible, yeah.
Well, if they sent an order of fries, then like Pepsi or someone could send a Pepsi up there and the aliens could have a happy meal.
Yeah. Actually, are McDonald's fries ever edible?
Hey, now.
Well, you know what? I like McDonald's fries, but it is definitely true. You know, you go to like a used car lot and there'll be some car there that's been on the lot for 11 months and there's a fry under the seat. It still looks like a fry, which you would think there would be mold and stuff on it, but no. There's none.
Fran sent this next story in.
Fantastic.
Fantastic. In Martin County.
Florida.
Thank you. 31-year-old William Joseph Leffler.
Uh-oh.
Is a three-name, definitely a three-name story. Was arrested and faces charges of possession and possibly, although he's contesting this, intent to sell. He was pulled over.
How much was it?
Well, he was pulled over for a routine traffic stop, and whatever, I don't know how the deputy determined that he had probable cause. Maybe the guy smelled like marijuana or whatever. I don't know.
Tuesday.
Yeah, whatever the issue was. Stupidly, William Joseph Leffler gave him permission to search the vehicle. However, maybe it wasn't so stupid because he was pretty sure he could get away with it because he had spent quite a lot of time cutting off the tops of soda cans, putting his drugs in the soda can, and then welding it back around right around the seam. And I saw the picture of these things that he created to house his illegal goods. And it looked pretty good. But the deputy and apparently the dog that he called in to search the vehicle with him didn't think it was so good.
The dog's like, this coke is...
Coke.
It's coke. Well, if they hadn't called in the drug sniffing dog, he probably would have gotten away with it. They looked that good because it was just like four random cans of soda laying on the back of his car, and they contained fentanyl, methamphetamine, heroin, crack, clonazepam, and Xanax.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's a
weekend.
Party.
There's a stew for you.
Yeah.
Well, that's a drug fiend bouillabaisse right there. You know what's funny is. He probably is selling it because that's a lot of different drugs.
For personal use, there'd be a lot of things going on that aren't helping.
Yeah. That's an Elvis thing right there. Give me one of the red ones. Yeah, give me one of the white ones.
You got to give him props for being such a dedicated addict that he would go to all that trouble to weld the tops back on the cans.
Especially when you can go to, especially when you can get those hide things where you like screw the top off a WD-40 or the bottom off it and you put stuff up in it. And when you spray, the WD-40 sprays. Yeah. You put it in your toolkit or something.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for giving everybody ideas.
There's a bunch of those things out there right now. There's
Barbasol shave cream.
Yeah, there's Coca-Cola ones that you unscrew the bottom, but the top, if you open it, you can actually drink Coke out of it. I mean, there's all kinds of things like that.
Oh, that's good to know. I did not know that. Let's see. And finally, this one. This one was from Neil. And the story is sadly very incomplete because no one knows why they did this, and no one has been able to find them since it happened, and police are still looking for them. However, in Zurich, Switzerland, on the auto route on Saturday afternoon, two men and one woman in an SUV pulled over. Pulled over off the emergency lane, got out of the car, took off all their clothes, and started making out.
Is there video of this?
Yes.
Awesome.
You can look it up. The brief moment was captured on video by a passerby who also called the police. By the time the police got there, they had suited up and driven away. So, you can look it up. Look up Zurich threesome. Blick threesome turns heads on A3 in Zurich, and you will see the video.
If you just look up Zurich threesome, I think you're going to come up with all kinds of hits on Google.
And if you know who they are, you're encouraged to call the police. However, I think other people would be very upset if you did. And that, my excellent friends, is the end of the boozy news.
You know what that means?
Oh, here we go.
Oh, it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze. Started from the bottom, now we're here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team. Yeah, started from the bottom, now we're here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team here. Started from the bottom, now we're here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team in. Started from the bottom, now we're here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team. I know. Started from the bottom, now we're here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team here. Yeah. Started from the bottom, now we're here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team here.
Yeah. Good day, ladies and gents. You are listening to Recovery 101.
We are back.
Welcome back.
Did you miss us?
They didn't even know we were gone.
They did, yeah. That's true. That's true. So,
yes,
Shelley. Uh-huh. Oh, you know what?
What?
Pretty soon. Well, we should probably throw a couple of these things in here right before we start the topic. Shelley?
What?
Tell us about Patreon.
Oh, Patreon is a user-funded site. You can become patrons of the show for as little as $1 a month, and you will get exclusive content. What else? Oh, you get the shows 3 days before everybody else does.
Yes.
Because we do still put our shows up on Podomatic. We do not put the exclusive content on Podomatic. It's only available to Patreon subscribers.
Like the dumpster fires. So we're recording Dumpster Fires right now for like 7 people.
Nine
people. Yes, we got another.
That's okay, because whenever you become a subscriber, you'll get to go back and listen to all the Dumpster Fires.
That's right.
And it's a really good way to help out your favorite show so that we can continue to do this without breaking the bank.
Or help out not your favorite show, just a show that you kind of like, which is us. Yeah, I mean,
we put about 25 hours a week into the show. So, and it will always be available for free on Podomatic, but we'd like some help.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Oh. Let's see, what else we got? We got terminallyuniqueapparel.com. We've got, what's your website? That's for recovery shirts and stuff. Shelly, what is your Etsy page?
Mimi's Magic Room. It's Etsy.com, Mimi's /shop/ Mimi's Magic Room. But if you just go to Etsy and look up Mimi's Magic Room, it'll come up. Which I do need to update. Yes, so if anybody actually goes and looks at it. I sold some stuff and then I didn't update it, so.
Oh, that would be a good, because someone's going to go in and buy the thing you already sold.
No. Those things already say sold. There are fewer items available. And some listings expired, so I need to go
bust out
and update
the jewelry making kit.
I got so much.
Come on, you got
so
tons of
much
time.
Glittery swag available to sell. It's just, I got to just keep putting it up.
So then, somebody sent us a topic.
Oh, yes, Bill did. He called it Money Talks, Recovery Walks. And his question was, how is the big recovery business part of our recovery lives, how is it hurting recovery in general and maybe specific people?
Now, was it big recovery business or big business in general?
Big business in general, but I think he's talking about the recovery industry.
Because I'm sure there's some regular business that is sort of inflexing their weight into the recovery community as well. Because certainly we know, like, I don't know in other parts of the country, but like right over here in at the 502 Club in Covina, they sell a tremendous amount of monster drinks. And it's like, that stuff's like crack in a can. And it's like, you know, you got to know that if I was creating monster drinks, I would want those in the hands of coke addicts and meth heads because it's almost got that vibe to it.
Yeah, well, you know, and how many people we know drink two or three of them a day and a serving is half a can?
Yeah, oh, I know.
Well, and some of them it's a third of a can.
Right.
We had a friend. I've never in my life seen anyone consume caffeinated beverages like this guy. This guy, Randy, would go to the meeting. He would drink four or five regular cups of coffee. Then we'd go to Starbucks, and on the way to Starbucks, he would go into the Albertsons and get a monster drink. Like you said, it's really three servings, and slug it down. Then he'd go in and get a five-shot latte. Then he'd go get another five-shot latte and another monster drink. And I'm like, bro, dude, that's you're like on the verge of needing to take a chip because that is out of freaking control.
Unfortunately, Randy passed away.
Yeah.
Not from caffeine-related causes, though.
No. Now, so I know that there's going to be a lot of banter on this. So Shelley and Mark, whichever, recovery centers and things like that. The whole, you go out and get loaded, don't worry, you can come back. You go out and get loaded, don't worry, you can come back. And every time you come back, we're going to hit your insurance again. Do you think that recovery centers always have the addict's best things in mind?
Interests.
Best interests in mind, yes.
In my humble opinion.
He's holding
with his
the
hand on
trophy.
The humble trophy.
Being in a recovery center has nothing to do with recovery.
Yes, you guys can go back, way back on Podomatic and find a thing that says treatment is not recovery. That was a show we did once.
Recovery doesn't begin until you leave.
But does your time count? You go in there, you drug-free, alcohol-free, you're going to meetings and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah,
because you're abstinent.
Yeah, they've got you, you know, they've got you locked behind closed doors.
Yeah, so, you know, so you haven't used, but people who, what's our problem here? So the whole thing about recovery, yeah, treatment is not recovery, you know. Treatment centers are just that. You come in and they...
Spin dry?
Yeah, well, they're there to make money. They are there to make a profit. I mean, it used to be the infamous, you know, $25,000 big book. They don't even give you a big book anymore.
No, in fact, when you have a sponsee in one of those facilities, and I now know to ask, do you have access to a big book? Because one of our local places doesn't even have them.
Are you talking about the one that starts with a P or a C?
C.
Yeah, the recovery hospital that we have the meeting at, they don't provide. And you know that back in the day, they didn't provide them back in the day either, because I remember when I first went to the AA meetings there, what they would do for rent is they would take donations of big books. So rather than take cash, instead of giving them $20, like you'd give them whatever it was at the time, like four big books, because this is a long time ago. Big books were $5. And what we started doing is giving them the paperback version, because we knew they needed big books, so we could give them like five or six of the paperback ones.
Right.
Because we were all about recovery.
Of course we were.
I don't know. I don't know if they were.
Money.
What do you think about that, Shelly?
I think it depends on the facility. I agree with Mark that treatment is not recovery. I think you can, you are exposed to recovery while you're in treatment, if that facility operates on a 12-step model, which probably 80% of the ones in the country do.
Mm-hmm.
You're exposed to it, but it doesn't really start until you get out. I agree with that. However, I think that some facilities are better than others. And it's difficult for a family that has a family, they've got a family member who has said, I need help. They're all trying to find them help. How do you determine the good places from the bad places? That's the problem.
First of all, you find the one that takes your insurance.
Yes, but then, even if it takes your insurance, like there was the big one that just got shut down and raided and people were arrested in Orange County and LA County.
What was that?
Well, we talked about it on the Boozy News last week.
Oh, last week. Yeah.
Actually, there have been two. And I can't remember the name of either one at this moment, but it escapes me. You know, I've got mental fog. The local place where we have our meetings, they will let people. I have a little bit more respect for them in the sense, although they no longer provide big books, and their version of doing the first three steps with people is a little weird, but because by the time you get out, if you're in the 30-day program there, by the time you get out, you have to have done the first three steps, and they recommend that you have a sponsor on the outside.
Okay, that takes a day.
I know, but from their perspective, you know, and that's what I'm saying is it's a little weird, because I've had sponsors or sponsees from that facility, and they'll show me what they did when they were inside, and I'm like, dang, that was a lot of nothing. I mean, they write and write and write and write, and it's like they do their whole entire life story, and I'm like, well, they kind of got that a little out of order, but, and it's just weird. It's just weird. You know, it's sure. Like worksheets. It's almost like busy work.
Well, it's DNA based.
It's just odd to me. But I do have a little more respect for them, because they won't allow you to come back after the second time. If you go through the program once and you go out and you relapse, you can come back and do the program again. But if you do it again, they refer you to another facility. Because I have had a sponsee there that tried to get back in a third time, and they refused her. They said, you can't come back into the program a third time.
Is this recent?
A couple years ago. It was my sponsee that I took her there. The reason I know that is because when I took her back the second time, she was throwing up all over the place, and they ended up having to call an ambulance and take her to the hospital. They let her come back the second time, and they told her, this is your last shot here, because you can only come back twice.
Yeah, they must have changed it, because we had a guy speak a few weeks ago, and he must have been in charter five or six times. But he's got a bunch. You know, he's
in
got
there for their 28-day program, or in there because I think I'm going to kill myself.
No, he was in there. He was in there. Well, this is a long time ago, because they didn't have a 28-day program then. So they had a lockdown, and you'd go in there, and this is way back, Shelly, when we used to even take panels in over there, because they didn't have a 28-day program.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe the 28-day program has changed that.
Yeah, that was like 8 years ago.
Yeah, I'm the thing that's weird for me, though, is, so let's say, even if you could go back multiple times, mm-hmm. let's say that you go to a thing and you go out and you get loaded, which, you know, isn't the facility's fault. It's your fault because you got loaded. Then should the facility tell you, you know, we're not going to help you if you come back? Because I could see both sides of that. One side is they're just trying to make money off us. Yeah, we'll take you back as many times as you want. And other ones are like, well, if they don't take you back, then they can't help you.
The ones I think are the most valuable, and actually Charter does this. I got to sound like I'm a commercial for Charter, are the intensive outpatient programs. Because then you're in treatment, but you also have to deal with the real world. Mm-hmm. You're not isolated in this little cocoon for 30 days.
Mm-hmm. I had a...
And I think that that's a little bit more valuable because then in the evenings, you go to regular meetings with regular people.
Right.
You're not in with just your little group all the time.
Do you remember the sponsee I had that worked there as like an aide or whatever in the intensive outpatient program? Was telling people it's completely okay to smoke weed.
Yes. He did last log.
Well, it is.
Yeah, if you want to give up your recovery. Yeah, he was...
Well, if you have your recovery, you just give up your time.
He got invited to go work at somewhere else.
Yeah. When I, you know, early on, when I was around the program early on, there was only one recovery place that I would refer people to that I thought did a really good job. And it was Lost Heads Ranch out in... out in the middle of freaking nowhere.
Tried to go there.
you might have gotten here sooner had you gotten in.
No, that was the time. I'll tell you, that was the time that I got it. As I called out there, and the woman goes, "You can't come."
Yeah.
I said, "Why not?" And she goes, "Cause you already know what you should be doing. Yeah. You're just not doing it." And I'm like, "Oh."
But they did. I thought they did a very effective, very good job. But you were in the middle of nowhere for. I mean, you were in. A place where if you said, "I'm leaving," they'd hand you a bottle of water and say, "Your best chance is heading that way."
Yeah, I asked her if it was a lockdown. She goes, "We don't lock it down." She goes, "You wouldn't make it."
No.
She goes, "You wouldn't make it anywhere. And if you started walking the wrong way, you for sure wouldn't make it."
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But
I thought when I was trying to get in that place, I'm thinking Lost Heads Ranch. There's going to be like cookouts, and there's going to be a chuck wagon, and there's going to be some horseback riding, and it's out in the middle of the desert. Not a lot of horseback riding at that ranch.
No, cookouts.
So how about here's an interesting thing that I've noticed. How about the companies that are clearly selling booze? That then have, like, the disclaimer, like, they're really trying to help you.
Well, here's the thing. Not everyone who drinks is an alcoholic.
Right.
Not everyone that drinks has a drinking problem.
Most people that drink don't have a drinking problem.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but they are just doing a public service by saying, if you think you have a problem, you should do something about it. I think that's a service. I think that's fine.
Yeah, you know what, though? You know what I always love? It's like, but like any, I mean, I see this from the corporate side. You know, if you're going to have a commercial, you're going to make your product look as attractive as possible.
Yeah.
Because, you know, whenever it's a booze commercial, man, it's the best looking people at the hottest club with the, you know, the guy that's kind of mediocre looking has got like this hot chick coming up to it. And then the girl that's kind of mediocre has got this. You know, Fabio dude coming up to her, and it's like, it's just, you know, like, drinking was never like that, or rarely like that.
Not for us, it wasn't, but I'll tell you, if you went and hung out with my sister, they're all the best-looking people, and they have the most fun, because they're not alcoholics.
Well, they need to put them in a commercial.
I hung out with a pretty good-looking group of people when I was out there.
I did up until...
But
later
it was
on.
Funny when you had a big bag of cocaine.
Yeah, you seem to attract a big group of good-looking people.
You got to pick and choose.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. Yeah. So,
drink responsibly.
Yeah, drink responsibly.
There's your first thing. If you do, you're fine. I don't know any of us that did.
That's why we're sitting here talking about this.
That's right.
Well, and you know what's funny? The gal that was... The gal that gave us, we talked about this the other day, the gal that gave us a cease and desist letter for using what looked very much like a Jack Daniels label.
Uh-huh.
And the gal says, you know, you can't have those out anymore. Do you know how many times, I just dropped a lit cigar. Do you know how many
times
we go out somewhere and I am wearing like my Sons of Anonymity shirt. Mm-hmm. We just had it happen. I was at Subway. This girl's like, oh, I love that show. I hated it when so-and-so wrote off at the end or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, this is not what this shirt says. They should have let me keep making that shirt because I am 100% sure that that label is so recognizable that there's people that see that shirt, even though everything on it was recovering, is like, yeah, we should go get some JD tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just saw a shirt. Yeah, it reminded me. We should get some JD.
Did you find the cigar you dropped?
No.
You burned something in your...
He's going after a light.
I am going after a light. Yeah. So.
Well, we know it didn't just go away, Bruce.
We just lost Bruce.
Yeah.
This is interesting for all of us.
Yes, for the listeners,
so,
not so much.
So, Shelly,
yes.
What are your final words on the subject?
My final words on the subject are, doesn't matter how much money you spend, if you're ready to recover, you will, no matter where you are.
Mark?
Yeah, it's not that big of an area, Bruce.
It's
your final
not,
words?
But I'm telling you, I don't see it.
Hey, I found a set of headphones.
Yeah, I know, there is a set of headphones.
What's amazing is Bruce has dropped a cigar each of the last 2 weeks in the studio while doing a show.
I didn't find the other one either.
And it's lit. And it's a good cigar, too.
It's a really good cigar, which is really pissing me off at the moment.
This explains why my dog's been acting weird, though, because Bob will come in here, and there's no food in here, and she'll root around on the
chewing.
Floor. She's clearly addicted to tobacco. She's getting his dropped cigars.
So.
This is ridiculous.
Well, it is, especially since we're running airtime right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I said, Mark, what are your final words?
He did. He said, Bruce, I can't believe you lost
my
cigar.
My final words are, you know, the money spent on recovery could be better spent.
My final words would be, I think recovery centers fulfill great intentions. But I think that some of the money involved on the side may make them feel like it's okay if people go out and come back because it's just another customer
for
us.
Recovery 101.
If you are Facebook friendly, you can easily like the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page. We put links to shows up there. If you'd like to join the secret group, you can ask at the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page by messaging us there. You can message Shelley Burnett or Bill Piper. They will get you added to that group, and you can interact with people you hear about on the show, like Fantastic and Bill Piper and Robert and you know, a variety pack of other people. If you want to become lead out entertainment, whether it's comedy or music or something, and you're in a band and you're sober, or, you know, at least a couple of the people in the band are sober, you can send us some MP3s. That's a preferred format. Send us a picture you'd like us to turn into a clickable link, and then send us a web address you'd like that clickable link to go to, whether it's YouTube or SoundCloud or Reverb Nation or Facebook or wherever, and we will do that for you for free and for fun. Did I say recovery101radio@gmail? Okay.
Sure.
Because that's where you send that other stuff to. You can also send boozy news there. And then that was that. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
So, Shelley, who's the lead on music by?
Jam Elkers.
Jam Elkers, everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
Liars and beggars and bums and thieves, come gather round for your daily reprieve. All of us here are soaked in sin. Brothers and sisters, I call you my kin. We sang with the band as we shipped out to sea. We toasted the captain while sunk to our knees. We made made it to shore by the skins of our necks. We share the scars we received from the wreck. Discontent and disheveled, the young heretics and the rousers of rebels. Now sing with me. Proud fight until my dying breath. Until my dying breath. See, I'll fight this proud fight until my dying breath.